mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Make and receive business calls using our iPhone and Android apps. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Forward your calls to any phone and even get your voicemails transcribed. Join over 250,000 small businesses who stay connected with Grasshopper. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000 mile mark. And right now, get a 5-quart jug of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $23.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
When your check engine light comes on, you never know if it'll be a couple of hundred or a couple of $1,000 to get it fixed. That's why you need extended coverage from CarShield. A new engine could cost over $5,000. New AC can be as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield will do the rest, paying the mechanic directly. Get protected by CarShield before it's too late. Call 800-838-0088 and mention the code Mike. Or visit CarShield.com and use the code Mike. You'll save 10%. CarShield.com, code Mike. A deductible may apply.
This is Dean's yard, and Dean's a pretty observant guy. But sneaky crabgrass lurks undetected until it rears its hideous head this summer. However, Dean's not only observant, he's smart. He uses Scott's Turf Builder Halt's Crabgrass Preventer with lawn food in early spring. It protects against crabgrass all season long while feeding the lawn for a fast green-up, guaranteed. So this spring, Dean can stop crabgrass dead in its crab tracks. This is a Scott's yard. Pick up Scott's Turf Builder Halt's today.
I found a better way to buy travel. It's called Upside.com. I use it to save a ton of money and get an Amazon gift card worth $100, $200, even $300 free. Upside bundles my flights and hotel together for one low price, which saves so much money they gave me a free Amazon gift card. I'm a frequent business traveler, so that's thousands in free gift cards for me and lots of savings for my company. Save big on travel and get a big gift card every trip. That's Upside.com.
Minimum purchase requirements. See site for details.
Hour number two of the program underway. What is the program? Well, it's called the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Pretty self-explanatory if you ask me, but then again, nobody did. Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little Hawkeye football with him. Iowa sending assistants Ken O'Keefe and Kelton Copeland in front of the media today. We've got an Iowa-themed poll question for you at KGYMradio.com as well. Who wins Iowa's starting quarterback job in the fall? Will it be Nathan Stanley or Tyler Wiegers? Ken O'Keefe says that those two have separated themselves from the pack. They're taking equal reps at the moment. 6 o'clock showdown on the way for you tonight as well. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels take on the Kane County Cougars next Friday, April 21st at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Colonels beat the Cougars on the road today at Northwestern Medical Field in Geneva, Illinois, 4-1. That's two in a row for Cedar Rapids as they head home to take on the Milwaukee Brewers affiliate, the Timber Rattlers. That's a Z102.9 Mug Club night next Friday, the first of which is this Friday, by the way. $6 gets you the mug and your first beer of the night, and then refills are $3 all game long. And then the next Friday night, you bring the mug back, you pay $3 from the get-go, and you do it all throughout the rest of the season. Pretty good deal, right?
Absolutely. I'm trying to figure out which one we had the Thirsty Thursdays last year, this year, Mug Club. I think I'm more of a fan of Mug Club.
Thirsty Thursday's okay. It's the 12-ounce drafts. Yes. These are good-sized. I think it's a 16 or a 20-ounce mug. I've got so many of these things at home.
Do you actually use them, too?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so it's
lifestyle. We've got the good glassware is in the left cabinet with the plates and the bowls and all of that stuff. And then to the right of the sink is the, if you just need a plastic cup for some water out of the refrigerator or something like that, or whatnot, or you're mixing a drink in a plastic cup, I couldn't tell you how many different cups that I've got, but I've got a ton of the kernels. They got a handle on them, which makes getting them into the cabinet a little interesting, but We highly recommend that you check out Mug Club Night on Fridays with the Colonels. Their schedule's available at colonels.com. You can even buy tickets online. What a world that we live in. Kyle Mann, our associate producer, joining me in the studio. Do you know how rare this is, Kyle, that back here in the catacombs of the KGYM studios, which we're back in the corner of the building, far, far away from all of the cool kids, do you know how rare it is for me to have somebody else who likes the Chicago Cubs in this part of the building with me?
Surprisingly enough, I had caught on to that.
It has been a very long time since we've had more than one Cubs voice on the air here on this program. 7:05 first pitch tonight at Wrigley Field. Brandon McCarthy going for the Dodgers. John Lackey pitching for the Cubs. But the most important thing, the Cubs are going to get their World Series rings tonight. They're going to have 108 diamonds on the ring. Ooh. One diamond for each of the 108 years that the Cubs didn't win the World Series between 1908 and 2016. Estimated value of each World Series ring, $70,000.
I've got good news, guys, for both of you. You have birthdays coming up. I can get you replica rings for $35.
How many diamonds does it have?
Probably less than 108, but...
That wouldn't even have one diamond, like a 32nd of a carat.
Pieces of glass, maybe.
Yeah, you don't even get cubic zirconium for that. I'm going to talk to our friends down at Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City and find out how much a replica ring would cost. What do you think this thing's going to look like? Because the Cubs have shown online sort of a teaser video. And these rings are all pretty much, you know, the player's name is going to be on one side, the record, various things like that on the other. 108 diamonds. If you're designing this, Kyle, what's your ring look like?
Well, you know, the first thing that actually popped in my head, I think it would be really cool if you got some, like, nice white diamonds on the top and then made a W flag, fly the W on your ring, and have some blue diamonds there in the middle with making the W.
That's always the joke, or not the joke, but I've heard from a lot of teams talking about their goal is to find the blue diamonds, because apparently there's a correlation between championships and blue diamonds, no matter what the color of the team may be. Apparently blue diamonds are on every championship ring. I had no idea.
We'll have to ask Gary Rima the next time that he joins us on
the program. Cedar Valley Court Kings, yes.
Cedar Valley Court Kings, whether there were 108 diamonds on those rings. I doubt Gary was handing out $70,000 rings. What do you think of the Cubs so far this year, Kyle?
I've been waiting, sitting here to tell you guys. Todd, you probably know this. Alex, do you know which Cub has the highest batting average right now of players with more than 12 at bats?
Let me guess, Jason Hayward.
He sure does. That's the right answer.
I don't know if they've fixed him entirely, but he's looked good and then he's looked bad. But when he looks good, and I made this point to my wife the other night, that's a scary lineup,
right,
from top to bottom. Now, I do have good news. Do you know where the breaking news sounder is on the board, Alex? Breaking news for you, Alex. The Cardinals are winning right now. They're beating the Nationals.
What inning?
They're beating the Nationals 3-0 in the top of the 7th inning.
There may be a Cardinals question coming up on the 6 o'clock showdown.
I take that back. They've moved to the bottom of the 7th inning, so they're even closer. We'll talk a little Cardinals baseball, I'm sure, coming up in the near future. Kyle, thank you for coming in. I wanted to get your opinion on what the Cubs rings were going to look like. Will it be as an emotional night tonight as it was on Monday night when they raised the pennant? When you had Billy Williams and Ryan Sandberg and Fergie Jenkins there, and the guys are out there in center field, and that pennant goes up, and Anthony Rizzo is walking across the diamond with the commissioner's trophy, handing it off to Tom Ricketts. Tonight, more special, as special, or less special than Monday night when they raised the banner?
I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's not going to be a fun night or anything, but it's obviously a little less special. They had a lot of energy built up in the offseason, and that was the first time getting back to Wrigley. So the other night was definitely, you know, that was the main event.
So I have two Cubs fans right in front of me, and I have to ask you both. I'm taking out the end of that game, Game 7, against the Cleveland Indians. What has been the most memorable part of this championship tour for you, the most emotional part of this championship tour for both of you?
I actually think back to not even last year, the year before that, when they had that the one-game playoff with Pittsburgh, and Arrieta was out there on Twitter talking a little bit of junk, and then they came in. I'm pretty sure that was the game that Schwarber hit that ball into the Allegheny, and that was a great game. That was kind of like when we really realized that, you know, this team was legit.
For me, if I've got to single out a moment, it's the comeback against the Giants in the National League Divisional Series last year, where my wife went to bed, and you know me, if you've listened to the program or listened to the station for the longest time, you know I'm not exactly Mr. Sunshine and Rainbows, and I said to my wife that night, why are you going to bed? They're going to come back and win this thing. And they did. They came back and won the game. And then they were able to polish off the Giants, and then they played the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series. My son came home from St. Luke's, and we got to watch the National League Championship Series and then the World Series together. And we're sitting on the couch, and we're watching Game 7, and I'm talking to him, and you know he's a couple months old at that time, but he should be only days old. And I'm holding him as Rajay Davis is in the batter's box, and I said to him, this guy is not a home run hitter, but he's dangerous. And then, of course, Davis gets that little pop gun home run to fly over the left field porch there in Cleveland. And I'm thinking I just jinxed it. I totally brought this on. And then the rain came, and you know Jason Hayward gives that speech. And as far as I'm concerned, he earned his contract there. I don't care how hokey that is. Who plays some of these guys? They're going to make a movie out of this. You know they are.
Oh, for sure.
Wasn't there an article already about who was going to play these guys? Yeah, I think so. That's just me imagining things, because pretty much every scenario after the World Series has popped up on my Twitter timeline about the Chicago Cubs, but I'm pretty sure actually one of our coworkers, Jenny Valier over at Z102.9, was the one who posted the article about who will play these characters in a movie.
I'm just going to stick with the reference that I made in hour number one. I want Judd Hirsch to be in the movie. Kyle, thank you very much. We'll send you back into the penalty box, where in the odd occurrence that the phone rings today, you'll have to answer it. This is shaping up very much like Monday with Jeff Downing, where the phone didn't ring very much at all. And then yesterday we were talking about Iowa's non-conference schedule with Middle Tennessee State, and the phones were ringing off the hook. Which, speaking of Middle Tennessee State, I saw this story today and I was very disappointed by it. But players, college athletes, young people continue to not understand that social media is actually your worst enemy and not your best friend. There was a Reds pitching prospect not too long ago that got outed for doing cocaine because he put Snapchat videos out there. And I think, judging from the video of the person sharing the Snapchat, that it was probably a former girlfriend. She had long nails. And look, you're playing with fire there one way or the other. But a couple Middle Tennessee State players wound up taking a video that showed them beating a dog. And now they are being investigated for animal cruelty. And the worst part about this, to me, is the statement that's put out by the coach of the team, Rick Stockstill, who, as we learned yesterday from Middle Tennessee State's release about the Iowa MTSU game in 2019, Rick Stockstill is the seventh longest tenured coach in college football. This just strikes me as tone deaf, ignorant. I don't know what phrase you want to... I know there's a lot of people who listen to this program who absolutely love animals, and so do I. I am aware of the situation and have talked to the players involved. The players explained to me that the puppy urinated inside, and they were simply spanking it as a form of discipline. They told me there was never any intent to harm the dog. This was an important teaching moment. I talked to them about other approaches that should have been considered in this situation. And I pointed out how disciplining a pet in such a manner could be misconstrued, especially with the impact of social media.
Now, have you seen the video?
Kiss my fat rear end. What a bogus, baloney statement. I have seen the still shots. I haven't actually. I don't want to watch them.
I don't either.
The one player reportedly hits the dog 5 times. And then the caption on the Snapchat is blank, which is an expletive, said you don't pay rent. So it's nothing about the dog peeing inside anything lighthearted about that at all.
I just don't understand. And
Both guys, by the way, are still on the football
team. This happened at Baylor, I think, last year, and there was a similar response to
Yeah, but this is problem 179 at Baylor.
That's true, but there was a similar response from Jim Grobe, who was the head coach at the time, before Matt Rhule took over. Is there, if Rick Stockstill just says, you know what, they screwed up, he doesn't even have to suspend him. He can say, you know what, they screwed up, we're going to deal with it in-house, and it probably, as long as they don't do it again, it's probably water under the bridge. And yes, you're going to get some people who are very angry with those players, but why do these coaches not learn from other coaches' mistakes? That's what I don't understand, whether it's this or the other problems that were happening at Baylor and now this at Middle Tennessee. These other coaches have really screwed up their images from their responses to these actions, and they don't learn from them.
The players explained to me that the puppy urinated inside and they were simply spanking it as a form of discipline. Just sounds like these players could have told me any story and I would have believed them, because I don't think this is a big deal. Which just absolutely, again, strikes me as being tone deaf. Now, as far as things that college football players have done, this is probably a little down the ways on the list of things that matter greatly. But to me, I'm still bothered by the fact. And why would you put that on social media to begin with? You know, who wants to see that? And who thinks that that's funny? And these guys are still on the, hopefully they're not on the team in 2019. When Middle Tennessee State comes to Iowa City to play the Hawkeyes. That was a good show yesterday. If you missed it, the podcast is available at kgymradio.com. Who's quarterbacking the Hawkeyes in 2019? 366-1600. I kid. Poll question today at kgymradio.com is, who is quarterbacking the Hawkeyes ultimately during the season opener next year? Who wins the job this spring and this fall? Will it be Nathan Stanley, or will it be Tyler Wiegers? Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question at kgymradio.com. You can find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. We have a lot of people on the text line. Yes, thank you. Someone on the text line, 3018, making reference to, that sounds like something that Steve Alford would say. It does. Which, by the way, if you've heard the opening to the program, the new open at the very start, at 4 o'clock every day, you've heard the Steve Alford, you're from freaking Iowa comment. I want to say thank you to John Campbell at KCRG. You have no idea how difficult it is to find the audio of Steve Alford saying that.
How long did you search for it?
I searched for it for the better part of an hour and a half.
How long did it take John Campbell to find it?
I believe it took John Campbell about 2 to 5 minutes, according to my sources at KCRG. John has an extensive video library, and he knows where virtually everything is at. So 2001 NCAA tournament, boom, he had the tape, and they had sent it over to me, just that snippet. And so to him and Scott Westerberg, a big thank you. Steve Alford will live on in the open of the program every day moving forward. 366-1600, that is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Hockey Guy says, social media is like telling someone in a small town a secret. Soon, everybody will know it. Congratulations, by the way, Hockey Guy. Today is Christmas. Alex is wearing his Tarasenko sweater here in the studio. I couldn't bring myself to wear anything Blackhawks today. I don't want to jinx them, but I don't have anything that currently fits, which is probably a bad sign. I'm not a big hockey sweater guy. I'm just not. But I had the Clark Griswold 00 from Christmas Vacation, and then I don't know.
I think we're kind of the opposite when it comes to jerseys. I'm not a big baseball jersey fan, and you are, correct?
I've got a couple jerseys. I've got several Cubs ones. I've got an old school Carlton Fisk jersey from 1983, just because I like that. I have always liked that Sox jersey, and they wear them on throwback day. I don't think that was the one that Chris Sale cut up last year. But basketball jerseys, I've got a couple. I don't wear jerseys. I've got Moses Malone, Spirit of St. Louis, ABA jersey, and then I have a Larry Bird jersey. I just don't wear them a whole lot. I'm not really a big jersey guy. They're more in my collection. Let's put it that way.
I was, unfortunately, and I think that any kid that was born, let's see, 1990 or later, had one of these kids in their class. I was the jersey kid.
Not to be confused with a kid from Jersey.
No, I was not from New Jersey. I just had way too many jerseys. That was the one thing when parents, hey, you want a... No, I don't want a toy. I don't want anything else. I don't want a coloring book. I want a jersey.
That was 7632 on the text line says, if that happens at a big-time school, no one bats an eye. Where was all this outrage at Bob Stoops over Mixon?
There wasn't.
I've been on the record since day one. I wouldn't want Mixon anywhere near my team. I would be very bothered if Green Bay, which happens to be my favorite NFL franchise, drafted him. And I don't necessarily think Bob Stoops probably handled that all that well. But you can talk about players abusing an animal as a separate conversation. You don't have to just say, well, it doesn't matter. Where was the outrage over Mixon? We talked about that to a certain extent.
There was plenty of outrage over Joe Mixon.
And I would have talked about it more if the opportunity had presented itself, because I've got a lot of thoughts on that. And I still do to this day, because the situation was just, it was hard to believe. And you've got two sides, and which side was worse in that? Because, and she didn't deserve what happened to her, but then you've got him saying what she supposedly said and hiding behind video and things that were said. It just, you can talk about players abusing an animal and not have to talk about all of the other terrible things that get swept under the rug with college football, because this stuff does happen all the time, and you can be bothered by this and still be bothered by Joe Mixon and his existence at Oklahoma, and the fact that when the NFL draft rolls around, some team is going to take him very likely on the second day of the draft. I think I saw him listed in Dane Brugler's mock draft somewhere in the second round.
And they're not going to think twice about it.
By the way, if I saw that correctly, and I don't have it in front of me anymore because we talked with Dane in hour number one, I think he had the Minnesota Vikings taking Mixon.
Joe Mixon, because their first
to
pick...
To replace Adrian Peterson, who beat his son.
Their first pick is in the second round.
Look... In this day and age, if you want to be a sports fan, you have to hold your nose and you have to swallow and you have to hope that you don't taste some of the disgusting things that guys do. It just, and that sucks about being a sports fan. But look at the Vikings. Can you imagine them going down that road? The PR nightmare that you had Adrian Peterson. And he beats his son, and he sits out an entire year. And then Peterson comes back, and you're going to replace him for all intents and purposes through the draft with Mixon? Sports. 25 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock, we've got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the way. Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register and HawkCentral.com is with us at the bottom of the hour. 6 o'clock showdown on the way tonight as well. Your chance to win Cedar Rapids Colonels tickets to next Friday's game against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers and more. Don't go anywhere.
Once upon a time, there was an office full of grumbly staffers with computer issues.
So they called us. We love a challenge.
They needed a rescue from troubled servers, networks, blue screens of death, and more.
That's what we do for businesses in the corridor, and we have been for over 30 years. We are IT Solutions.
They are IT Solutions.
I just said that. Anyway, we know a properly configured and maintained computer network can make your employees 5 to 15% more efficient.
That's a whole lot of happy.
Yeah, it is. We monitor our client systems to make sure they're working. A lot of times, we solve a problem before a client even knows there is one.
Sounds like secret high-tech stuff.
Sure. Our clients have a dozen to a few hundred computers, some a few less, but they all have a lot of happy and productive employees because their computers work.
And they can stay focused on...
taking care of their customers instead of their computers.
Find your happily ever after at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com to learn more.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Hi, Patrick Eads, owner of Geary Ford. I may not have the biggest dealership or the largest inventory, but I can promise you a fast, hassle-free experience with the friendliest people around and our best price up front.
On over 100 sale-priced used cars that come with 3 months, 3,000 miles comprehensive warranty and payments as low as $119 a month with zero down or up to $6,000 off MSRP on new Fusion and Escapes. With more inventory, more financing, and lower rates, you'll drive home in a newer vehicle and have a lower monthly payment than you have now.
Experience the way car buying should be at Geary Ford Iowa City or online at GearyFord.com.
I believe that's called a false equivalency. When you think that just because you're talking about one thing, somehow the other doesn't matter.
That's only in sports talk, though. That doesn't spill into political... Oh, never mind. Sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up.
The puppy is cowering in fear under the bed, and they drag the thing out from the bed and hit it at least 5 times, and it's whimpering. Now, I know you've got people out there that are saying, well... that's just what dogs do. That's what puppies do. I don't know, man. I've got a real... you know who tortures animals? Serial killers. I have a soft spot in my heart for animals. I really do. And to me, I'm thinking, okay, the only reason this comes up is because it's Middle Tennessee State, and we talked about them yesterday on the program. But I don't know how much attention I would even pay to this had I not read the statement from the head coach. That basically is just garbage. That's the part to me that really stuck. This is an important teaching moment. I talked to them about other approaches that should have been considered in this situation. Come on. They told me there was never any intent to harm the dog. Well, that might not be, but... and then, so who puts that on Snapchat? Kids, man. I don't know. It's a dumb story, and it had the Middle Tennessee State tie-in, and I was like, how many days in a row can we mention Middle Tennessee State on this program? I'll set the over-under at 3.5, so we've got 2 days to go. We will owe you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the back end of this break. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register is set to join us to talk a little Hawkeye football. Ken O'Keefe and Kelton Copeland both meeting with members of the media in Iowa City earlier today. Ken O'Keefe talked a lot about Tyler Wiegers and Nathan Stanley trying to separate themselves from the pack. We'll ask Chad about it next.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, landlines are a thing of the past with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business. Get all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone with our iPhone and Android apps. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Yard. Pick up Scott's Turf Builder Holtz today.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. Plenty of NBA players out this final night of the regular season. Cleveland coach Ty Lue says LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love will not play tonight against Toronto. The Cavs can clinch the one seed in the East with a win, and a Celtics loss to the Bucks, Boston clinches the top seed with a win or a Cleveland loss. The Hawks already locked into the fifth seed in the East, sitting out Dwight Howard, Paul Millsap, Dennis Schroeder, Ken Bazemore, and Tim Hardaway Jr. versus the Pacers. ESPN radio coverage in 30 minutes, 8 Eastern on ESPN. Indiana can clinch a playoff spot with a win or a Bulls loss or a Heat loss. Brooklyn's Jeremy Lin, Trevor Booker, Brook Lopez, Joe Harris, Sean Kilpatrick, all out against the Bulls. Chicago clinches a playoff spot with a win or a Heat loss to Washington. Miami needing some help to get into the playoffs with a win and a loss by either the Bulls or the Pacers. NHL, Penguins All-Star center Evgeny Malkin returns from an upper body injury for tonight's first-round playoff opener against the Blue Jackets. Toronto third baseman Josh Donaldson, back from a calf strain, will be the DH tonight versus Milwaukee.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
We learn with our hands. Ask anyone who's done something for long enough, and they'll tell you the best way to learn is to do, to move, to change. That's why we created Night School at TeamValvoline.com. It's a hands-on approach to DIY where experts demonstrate a variety of services and repairs that both a seasoned pro and a brand new DIYer can appreciate. Visit TeamValvoline.com today. Plus, when you buy 5 quarts of Valvoline motor oil, get a pair of Mechanics Wear gloves free.
Over 3 million businesses use Indeed.com for hiring. And independent research shows that 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. By creating the easiest, most effective hiring experience, we help businesses find great new people every day. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
How good is Quaker State Motor Oil? It's been called a leader in wear protection and the hardest working motor oil. Some say it works so hard it should carry a briefcase. Others call it so hard working that it could be your engine's employee of the month. The kind of hard work that puts in overtime hours and always responds to emails right away. But we just call it damn good oil. Head to Tires Plus for great savings on Quaker State.
5:34 on a Wednesday, 6 o'clock showdown on the way. Your chance to win tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels next Friday as they take on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. We told you we owed you one. We'll bring it to you right now. It's another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We'll start with Iowa, which announced yesterday its 2017 Outback Bowl trip wound up yielding a surplus of over $6,000. Total expenses from the trip to Tampa tallied north of $1.5 million, with the largest expense coming from lodging and meals. Iowa also said yesterday the official attendance figures from the 2016 season showed an increase of 6,000 fans per home game. That helped Iowa rank 20th nationally in attendance. 4 of the Hawkeyes' 7 games at Kinnick Stadium a year ago were sellouts. Incoming Iowa State basketball guard Lindell Wigginton is now a 5-star prospect, according to Rivals.com. The former 4-star is listed as the 23rd best player in the entire country. The 6'2 guard also earned All-America status recently from Max Preps. The Cedar Rapids Colonels beat the Kane County Cougars 4-1 today in the series finale of a 3-game set at Northwestern Medical Field in Geneva, Illinois. Home runs on the afternoon for Mitchell Cranson and Jalen Davis as Cedar Rapids returns home tomorrow night to take on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. And the Iowa baseball team picked up its 20th win of the season Tuesday night in a 4-1 win over Western Illinois at Duane Banks Field. Drake Robeson picked up the win in relief. He worked 3 scoreless innings. Austin Guzzo and Mason McCoy had two hits each for the Hawks. They travel to Lincoln this weekend for a Big Ten series against Nebraska. We promised you a little Hawkeye football talk today from someone other than me and Alex, and we'll bring it to you right now. Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register is on the line with us. Chad was in Iowa City earlier today for Ken O'Keefe and Kelton Copeland. And Chad, I'm just going to go ahead and start with the headline of the day, and that's the quarterback talk, with Ken O'Keefe saying that these two guys have separated themselves from the field, but they haven't separated themselves from one another.
Yeah, well put. That's exactly the topic of my column that should be posted within the next half hour at hawkcentral.com. I think it's interesting to me that that's the case. That's kind of what I saw at Valley Stadium, too. That's what Kirk Ferentz said, but yeah, it's an actual quarterback derby, I guess. And I would have put Stanley at 90-10 before the spring started, but clearly he's being pushed by Uyghurs.
Does this end any other way than one guy looking good next Friday at Kinnick Stadium and then the other guy being named the starter at the end of the summer? Because that would ultimately, I think, set a lot of the fan base off. But if this ends any other way, I'll be surprised.
Well, I looked it up, and the last time Iowa, of course, had a competition like that was close like this would have been Rudock versus Beathard in 2013, when you know, after James Vandenberg had departed after 2 years, just like C.J. Beathard after 2 years here. And that decision wasn't made until August 23rd. That's when Iowa made the announcement then, so... That would probably be about the time frame I would expect something to happen in this process.
Now, I'm sure Ken O'Keefe was asked numerous times about a timeline on moving forward and possibly naming a starting quarterback. Did he give any kind of inkling as to how long this might take himself?
Basically, that, you know, the company line right now is you know, it's indeterminate. They, you know, obviously, it doesn't. It's Kirk Ferentz's quote from the other day at Valley Stadium was, you know, basically, they're in no rush. This isn't the time to make a decision. So I think they're pretty content to let these guys compete with the idea that competition is good. And you know, we'll see where they go. I mean, you know, the part that I wrote about in my column, which should be up pretty soon, is, you know, back in 2004. And O'Keefe saw the separation he wanted to see from Drew Tate, who of course had played a few snaps as a true freshman. Very analogous here to Nathan Stanley's situation, since he's the first true freshman to play since Tate. So the fact that Stanley has not, you know, become Tate yet isn't a disappointment, I don't think, or breaking news. But I think at some point that's what the best case scenario would be for the Hawkeyes.
Chad Lystico joining us from the Des Moines Register. You can read his work at hawkcentral.com. How much of this do you think, if any, has to do with casting Greg Davis overboard and the fact that you've got a new offensive coordinator and you bring Ken O'Keefe in as the quarterback's coach, and maybe this is just sort of a fresh start?
Well, I think there's probably some truth to that. I mean, I think in Greg Davis's mind, he had kind of settled. You know, that offensive staff had kind of settled on Stanley as being kind of the QB of the future. You know, that's why he got those snaps last year and would have been, the guy had better gone down. So, yeah, certainly this is a, you know, fresh set of eyes for both Brian Ferentz and Ken O'Keefe. And I'm sure that they both want to take their time with this decision. It's an important decision if you're a first-year offensive coordinator. I don't know if you want to make a – if you've got four young guys going for a job, I don't know if you want to make an announcement in April that we've made a decision.
What else did Ken O'Keefe have to say today? Because this is really a fascinating hire, and I thought he looked so relaxed and relieved when we talked with him at Carver Hawkeye Arena shortly after his hire during basketball season. It's an interesting career move for him. He made the self-deprecating joke about the de-evolution of his career, but it just seems like a guy who's happy to be where he's at right now and is really looking forward to this new challenge, because even though he's just the quarterback's coach, this is still going to be very much a hands-on experience for him.
Yeah, he should be pretty happy. I mean, he got a 3-year contract, which is, you know, for $500K plus a year, and that's pretty much unprecedented for an Iowa assistant coach. So in that respect, yeah, I mean, this is a great landing spot for him. He did talk today about being the transition being incredibly smooth. Obviously, he knows the Ferentz family. He knows several of the assistants that were there before, like Reese Morgan and Phil Parker. And I'm sure he remembers Brian Ferentz pretty well from coaching him back in the day. So that part he talked about. The other thing is he talked about, you know, one thing that I will say that didn't really come up at all was Drew Cook and Ryan Boyle. You know, all the talk was focused on Stanley and Uyghurs. So there's a clear demarcation there between two and three. So I wouldn't expect a Cook or a Boyle to surge into the race.
And Ken O'Keefe, and I think that with throughout these spring practice media availabilities, we've been kind of asking and trying to prod to see, to find out what the differences are going to be offensively with Brian Ferentz at the helm. Ken O'Keefe talked a little bit about the differences that in this offense as opposed to when he was here 5 years ago. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. Every coach seems to have a little bit different answer on this topic. You know, some coaches are saying that there's hardly any difference. Some will say there's a lot of difference. O'Keefe seemed to be somewhere in the middle. You know, basically that it is different, but not a whole lot different. So, and that the terminology is somewhat different. He didn't really get into specifics. And I think if you're a Hawkeye fan, you probably actually don't want them to get into too many specifics about what they're going to do. It might be the best, you know, best plan of attack for Iowa to try to keep its offense as shielded as possible going into September, because it, you know, you don't want to have too much information out there. So I wouldn't expect too much forthcoming, but it is going to be different.
Kelton Copeland also was put forth in front of the media today, Iowa's new wide receivers coach coming to the program from Northern Illinois. And with all due respect and deference to Brandon Snyder and his torn ACL, Chad, is there a more disappointing story this spring than Germanic Smith being pulled from the team's activities because of his academic issues? Because this is, to me, a guy that they probably need next fall.
Well, that's a good point, Todd. You know, especially considering they're down to two scholarship receivers this spring that are available, that being Devonta Young and Adrian Falconer, who have zero career catches. So, yeah, it's a pretty dire situation right now. You know, I'd say about 20% of the press conference with Copeland today was probably dedicated to will true freshman play, and the answer is the opportunity is wide open. You know, Iowa has, you know, depending how you count them, four or five receivers coming in, like pure receivers, you know, coming into the program. And of course, Matt Vandenberg will be back, and that will certainly help a lot as well. But, really, that's, no Germanique. And then I actually asked him straight up. I said, do you expect him to be back? And his answer was, I hope so. So, it wasn't like, yeah, he'll be back, you know, like Sean Welsh a couple of years ago. Ferentz was, pretty adamant that yes, he'll be back at some point. But this was and I hope so. He's got to take care of business. So that doesn't, it's not solid that he'll be back.
One of the names that keeps coming up, and Kirk Ferentz kind of accelerated the talk about, Nick Easley, the former JUCO All-American. His name came up as well today.
Yeah, actually, he was one of the first names that came up, and Copeland couldn't stop talking about the guy. It's been a pretty consistent theme, whichever coach comes up. And actually, I would say, having attended that Valley Stadium practice, not a lot of offensive players stood out, but he was one that did on Friday night at Valley Stadium. So not going to say he's going to be great or anything like that, but he definitely seems to be impressing the coaches, not only in the weight room, but on the field, and with his attitude, work ethic, leadership, all those things that typically lend itself to getting on the field at Iowa.
Did you notice anything last Friday at West Des Moines Valley? Anything stand out to you in taking that open practice in?
Okay, the offense did not look very good at all, very crisp. One thing I will say that I did notice, and as did my colleague Mark Morehouse, a lot of passes over the middle. It seemed to be a really concerted effort, which is a huge criticism of Greg Davis's offense, was that there were so many horizontal passes. The horizontal passing scheme was not popular. So, there were a lot of passes over the middle, a lot of them to tight ends. Hawkinson had some nice catches. Dominique Daphne, of a walk-on from Valley, had a few nice grabs. Sean Byer, a Cedar Rapids kid, had a great catch over the middle. All these things I'm talking about were over-the-middle passes. So That was probably one of the things that kind of stood out on an otherwise uneventful evening.
Chad, I'm thinking back on the last 10 minutes or so here. This you may be accused of painting a rather bleak picture with regards to the Hawkeyes this spring.
Well, you know, it's always going to, the offense is always going to look rough in the spring, and it pretty much always has. I remember, was it 2 years ago, the spring game, where the only time the offense scored a touchdown was when they finally put the ones against the threes, and I think Akram Wadley or Derek Mitchell, one of the two, you know, ran it in for a touchdown. So it's never, you know, and that team went on to be 12-0. So it's never looking that great. But, you know, I just think the overall feel right now is pretty uncertain, especially, you know, we referenced it briefly, but the Brandon Snyder injury, I think, is going to be really a difficult blow to overcome because he was their best safety. Miles Taylor is not a great safety. So they're really hurting there, and not to mention they have to replace two cornerbacks. But, you know, I do like the corners at least. And, you know, Noah Klayberg, by the way, switching to safety. That's another little news bit from today.
I think
to maybe help.
Sorry about that, Chad. The one word that you used there was uncertainty, and we were talking about it a little bit before in the last hour. Can you remember a time where, especially at the most important positions on the offense, the quarterback, the wide receivers, and not a position, but the offensive coordinator are all new? Can you remember a time when there was so much uncertainty from us, the media members, and a lot of the fans about what we're going to see from this offense come the fall?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd have to kind of think back. I know. You know, I know the receiver core has been a mystery in the past. But I guess the one thing I would say is, truly complimentary way, the offensive line looked fantastic the other night. That is definitely a strength, and I think that's a good starting point. If you're looking for optimism around the Hawkeyes, you know, the offensive line, even Kirk Ferentz said after the Valley practice was, you know, they've taken a step up this year. They're playing better this year. And, of course, you know, Akram Wadley is sort of being withheld from any serious contact this spring. So we're not really seeing the full Hawkeye, you know, ensemble. And they're really trying to get a feel for the young guys, which, you can't blame them. They need some of those young guys to step up.
Chad Leistico from the Des Moines Register. A couple more seconds with him. Remember, you can read his stuff at hawkcentral.com. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL draft that's coming up. But why do you think Desmond King continues to slide down the mock draft board?
I think the biggest reason probably is because it's such a deep cornerback class. And so I think that's kind of, you know, it's like one of those, you know, fantasy baseball drafts, you know, when there's like 11 good third basemen out there. It's like, I'll wait on a third baseman. I think that's probably... you know, like that's probably part of it. It's probably just that mentality. Whereas there's like no good quarterbacks yet. Four quarterbacks might go in the first round because there's not, you know, there's such a dearth at that position and teams need those guys. So, I think that's probably the biggest reason. Obviously his 40 time is just sort of average, but, and then he didn't have a great senior bowl down in Mobile. He didn't have a great senior bowl down there. So that's probably all combining, I think, but, it looks like second or third round for him. And I'm sure I'm pretty confident he'll do well wherever he goes.
You also cover the Iowa basketball team for the Register. Were you surprised when Fran said the other night that other than Dale Jones, no one was leaving the basketball program this year?
You know, I was expecting one, to go, just not because Connor needs a spot, but just because, that's just the way it goes in college basketball. But, you know, I think it is true. I think the players really do like the program, the way the program is trending. They like Fran. I know, you know, on the outside of Iowa, you know, Fran is sometimes, you know, viewed as, you know, this guy that goes haywire on the sidelines type figure. But he's really a loving players coach, and they love to play for him. They love to please him. And, you know, I think they believe in what he's doing. So I think that's a really good sign.
You mentioned Connor McCaffrey, Fran's oldest son. They don't have a scholarship open for him. Fran hinted that a decision or an announcement is coming soon. How do you think that situation is going to wind up?
Man, that's I even talked to Fran the other day for a different story I was doing, and really there's not any clarity yet. I think they're still, I think their minds are still waffling on the topic. I could see one scenario that that I know is plausible would be him taking a red shirt, a walk-on red shirt year in basketball to maybe focus on baseball that first year. I could see that as a possibility. I could also see a prep school as a possibility, and I could also see coming in playing right away as a walk-on possibility. But there's so many minutes to go around. I don't think it would be a bad thing necessarily if he redshirted one way or another.
Chad, we'll see you next Friday at Kinnick Stadium. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you bet.
Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register joining us on the show tonight. Podcast available if you're just joining us and want to hear what Chad had to say, KGYMradio.com after the show is over. I sort of joke around with him about painting a bleak picture, but we're talking about a team and the subjects are two guys at quarterback that have no experience and aren't really separating themselves from one another, a lack of wide receivers with Germany Smith completely on the sidelines, and a lot of question marks surrounding his situation as to whether or not, you know, the door is open to him to return, obviously, but he needs to get his academics in order, which I think is a troubling situation if you're a fan looking at this program and you're putting a lot of your Easter eggs into the Matt Vandenberg basket. What's to say that he's going to remain completely healthy next year? And then on the defensive side of the football, where you've got to replace Desmond King and Greg Maben, it should be fun next Friday night at Kinnick Stadium watching people jump to conclusions.
Completely overreact.
As they watch. And it's going to happen, and we'll probably be guilty of it a little bit of it here as well, but at least we're getting paid to do it. I mean, you know, people want to talk about the team when there's not really a whole lot going on, and when there is stuff going on, it's usually not things that people are clamoring to discuss a whole lot, like the quarterback situation. I mentioned the Easter eggs. We had an adult Easter egg hunt on the lawn of the station earlier today, and there were four tiny airplane-sized bottles of liquor among the many eggs and prizes. And I managed to somehow come away with three of the four.
I came away with none of them.
By utilizing my tested and true strategy of being lazy, and while everybody else ran across the lawn to get the eggs that were furthest away from them, I focused on the ones that were close to me that I didn't have to run for or bend over very far to pick up. And once again, it proved the winning strategy.
Let me guess, they were in the tree?
There were a couple in the tree, and then there was one very large ostrich-sized egg, which I knew had to have had a bottle of booze in it. And then two of the other eggs that I had some cash in them as well. So a very profitable day for yours truly. We'll take a break and come back. We'll get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update and more. And Alex, what is this with the city of St. Louis, your hometown, suing its former NFL franchise? Lots to get to in hour number three.
Got some property to take care of? Let a Kubota help you out. Known worldwide as a leading seller of compact tractors and diesel utility vehicles, Kubota has the equipment to help you get your work done. With a variety of tractors and a range of horsepower options, Kubota delivers the efficiency, power, and comfort to handle light construction, landscape work, and chores on the farm. Take on your toughest jobs with a Kubota. See your local dealer today. To find your local Kubota dealer, visit iowakubotadealers.com.
What kind of job would make you happier? One that pays more? One that makes you feel appreciated? One that offers the kind of benefits that world-class companies can offer? Red Star Yeast in Cedar Rapids has all that and a lot more, like company picnics and nights out at the ballpark. You get the benefits of a big company with a family feel at Red Star Yeast. What that means is you're appreciated and you're heard. Red Star Yeast is looking for production operators. All you need is a high school diploma and great work ethic. To learn more about joining the Red Star Yeast family in Cedar Rapids, visit the careers page at redstaryeast.com.
Back with you and right into a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Iowa announced yesterday its Outback Bowl trip this year yielded a surplus of over $6,000. Total expenses for the visit to Tampa tallied just north of $1.5 million. Of course, the Big Ten makes sure that it kicks in to help teams pay for some of those expenses, the largest of which of course, comes from lodging and meals for the team itself. Iowa also announced yesterday that official attendance figures from the NCAA for the 2016 season showed an increase in 6,000 fans per home game. That helped the Hawkeyes rank 20th nationally in attendance. Four of Iowa's seven games at Kinnick Stadium a year ago were sellouts. Incoming Iowa State basketball guard Lindell Wigginton is now a five-star player, according to Rivals.com. The recruiting site gave Wigginton his fifth star after it moved him up to the 23rd best prospect in the country. The 6'2 guard also recently earned All-America honors from Max Preps. The Cedar Rapids Colonels and Kane County Cougars closed out a three-game series at Northwestern Medical Field in Geneva, Illinois, earlier today with another noon game. This was actually an 11 o'clock first pitch. Colonels victorious for the second day in a row. They beat the Cougars 4-1. Home runs in the game for Mitchell Cranson and Jalen Davis. Cedar Rapids back home tomorrow night to take on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. And the Iowa baseball team picked up its 20th victory of the season Tuesday night in a 4-1 win over Western Illinois at Duane Banks Field. Up next for the Hawkeyes, they'll travel to Lincoln this weekend for a Big Ten series against Nebraska. What'd you get during the Easter egg hunt?
I got a lot of candy. I went for the quantity and not quality, so I got a lot of candy.
But there, you don't know what's in the eggs,
no.
So you don't know about the quality.
So I got very unlucky in the sense that I got a lot of Three Musketeers, and then I got a...
I saw a lottery ticket.
I got a lottery ticket, a losing lottery ticket, and $1 in cash.
Woohoo! What you should do is you should take that lottery ticket, and then you should go to a gas station on the way home tonight, and then keep everybody waiting while you give it to the cashier and you say, can you please check this for me?
And then get like then it goes, several, rack up a tab of like $16, pay all in change. Should I do that as well?
Yes. 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 I want to get into the story about the Rams and the city of St. Louis. St. Louis is suing the Rams, every other team in the NFL, and the NFL itself. Still holding a little bit of a grudge there, I see. And Tony Romo suiting up for the Dallas Mavericks last night, and the Mavericks selling out of his jersey. Hour number three, more on the way.
Stugatz here for Canadian Mist. You know what I'm looking forward to? Hanging with friends on the back deck. We'll grab the red Solo cups, pour some Canadian Mist whiskey with a splash of cola, a little crushed ice. It's so simple. There's absolutely nothing better. Whether you're making stories or telling them, it's how friends share a drink. Read about our story and get some great